When I was in college, I had three goals. One was to become a nuclear engineer. The second was to get married. And the third was to have a family. The first one I did. The second one, clearly, I didn't. Otherwise, I wouldn't be a celibate priest standing before you. But God had a better plan than I did, a better plan for my happiness. And eventually, I came to accept his plan, and so I entered seminary. But I noticed there was a strange thing happening to me. I still had a strong desire for marriage. Now, marriage is a good thing, and it's natural for people to want marriage. And so I thought, well, this must just be a natural desire for marriage. So I just kind of pushed it aside and continued my seminary studies. After about 2 years as a seminarian, while I was on retreat, God revealed to me something very important. He revealed to me that I had believed a lie. A lie that I had believed since childhood. A lie so deep within me, I didn't even recognize that it was there. I didn't notice it. And the lie was this. The only way I could truly be happy was if I was married. So, when I was even in the seminary, those first 2 years, I didn't believe I could be truly happy without marriage. And that reality, that strong desire for marriage, was very confusing to me. But what was behind it was the lie. What was causing that was the lie. And when the lie was exposed and the truth revealed that I could be happy without being married, then the lie lost its power. And I discovered that I no longer had this very strong, confusing urge for marriage anymore. I discovered that what was happening to me wasn't the natural desire for marriage, but was a disordered desire for marriage as a result of the lie. Now, I don't know exactly when or how I started to believe that lie. I'm not sure what the circumstances were. It could be that as a little kid and I'm trying to figure things out, I was a bit confused and maybe I came up with it myself. But there's another possible source. And that would be Satan, or one of his fallen angels. Satan, the devil, is real. But we don't have to fear him, because he is limited. And God is unlimited. God created him as a good angel, but he abused his free will and chose to reject God and taught other angels to do the same. And it's because he chose to reject God that he will never be in heaven. And neither would those angels that followed him. Heaven is union with God. God, who is truth, who is beauty, who is goodness, who is joy, who is love, and so much more. And Satan and the fallen angels don't want that. So for all eternity, they will be without goodness, truth, beauty, love, joy. And all that God is, they'll be without that forever. And so that makes them miserable. And they want to make everybody else miserable too by trying to get other people to reject heaven as well. And Jesus calls Satan the father of lies. And we see how true Jesus' statement is when we look at the first reading. Satan appears to Eve as a snake, and he strikes up a conversation. He casts doubt upon what God has said. Did he really say that? And Eve, instead of rejecting Satan and telling him to go away, instead she starts a conversation with him. She engages him. And seeing that he's having influence over her, he becomes even more emboldened and decides to just outright lie to her and say, "You certainly will not die. No, God knows well the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like gods, who know what is good and what is evil." There's hidden implications behind what he says. He's implying that God is a bad father. He's implying that God doesn't really want them to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because then they would become like God, And that God doesn't really want that competition, and so he's going to prevent them from doing that by saying, don't eat of the fruit. But all these implications are lies. God is the best father. And it was always part of his plan to give Adam and Eve the grace to be united with him, to elevate them, to be like him. But the way God was going to do it was by giving them the opportunity to exercise their free will, to choose to be with God, to choose to love God, and to follow God by obeying him. But instead, they chose to believe Satan and tried to take this shortcut that he presented. And what God said came true. God said that they would die, and immediately that took effect. Not physical death, but spiritual death. By choosing to sin, they chose to reject God. And so they separated themselves from him. And this is part of Satan's tactics. He attacks our relationship with God. And he tempts even all of us, not by appearing as a snake, a talking snake, but still trying to sow seeds of lies within us, dropping hints, stirring up in our hearts different lies like, God doesn't care about you. His commandments are arbitrary. He only says those things so that you're not happy. Oh, you sinned so badly, you can't possibly be forgiven, so why even try? All of these things are lies. Lies that Satan tells us to try to trick us to sin or to try to keep us in sin, to try to prevent us from being united with God. But the truth is, God considers you worth dying for. In fact, God the Son did die for you. He came down from heaven, united himself to human nature, and gave up his life to reconcile you with God the Father, to reveal to you the love of God the Father. The truth is, God's commandments are given to us to guide us to be united with him. The truth is, those commandments are to help us on our way to true and fulfill and full happiness with him forever in heaven. And even getting a taste of that heavenly bliss here on earth through relationship with God. The truth is, God can forgive all of our sins. And none of our sins are greater than his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness. God yearns to forgive us, to draw us back to himself, to offer us his mercy in the confessional. He wants that relationship restored. But Satan doesn't want you to believe any of this. Because if you did, then you might act upon it. You might seek that forgiveness. You might try to keep yourself away from sin. And he wants to prevent you from being with God. He wants to prevent you from being in heaven so that you could be as miserable as he is. Don't believe his lies. Satan is so proud that he even thought he could tempt God himself. We hear about that in our gospel passage. Satan appears to Jesus in the desert. But Jesus is God. And sin is an offense against God. Since Jesus is God, he's not going to offend himself. He's not going to sin. But Satan thinks he can do it. And so he tries. And we see in our gospel passage that he fails. But his attempts are beneficial for us because it reveals to us more about his tactics. Notice what he does. Twice he says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God." If. Jesus knows who he is. He's not going to fall for this attack on his identity. He's not going to fall for this trick to try to separate him from the Father. He's not going to accept the lies of Satan. And he gives us the grace to resist those lies too. He gives us the grace to avoid temptation as well, to overcome it and beat it like he did in the desert. Because Jesus Christ is more powerful than Satan. And St. Paul talks about this in our second reading. He talks about, yes, how Adam through Adam, sin entered the world, but he also talks about and proclaims to us the good news of Jesus Christ. How through Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled to God the Father and receive the love and mercy of the Father. St. Paul tells us, "For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous." Jesus Christ's perfect offering of himself on the cross out of love for us grants us the grace of reconciliation with the Father. And that grace given to us is very beneficial for our salvation, for union with God. Through that grace, we become adopted children of God. And so we are called to believe the truth. The truth is, God loves you. All that he commands for you is for your own good. All that he wants from you is to know his love for you and to love him in return. God the Father gave you his only begotten Son so that through him and in union with the Holy Spirit, you would know of his love for you and be able to be with him forever in heaven. Never forget who you are. You are a beloved child of God. Never forget whose you are. You are his. Let us focus on these truths as we prepare ourselves to be united with the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, in the most holy Eucharist.